Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Calkins, award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian host, Jeff Calkins Show, joins me every day around 5 o'clock. Sometimes it's closer to 5:15. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good.
Well, that's good to hear.
I was worried about you. I thought maybe something terrible had happened.
Well, something terrible has happened. My flight's been delayed all day.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
Yeah, that is terrible. I mean, listen, terrible. I know other people are going through stuff, too, but there's a chance I might have to sit in the Delta Sky Club longer than I anticipated tonight.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, think about that for a second.
Hey. Prayers up. Prayers up.
Thoughts, please.
Prayers up.
Right. I see that all the time on Facebook. People are always asking for people to pray for them. Like, hey, I really need prayers. I've never done that because it seems weird to me. But, like, let's consider this the radio version of Facebook prayer request. Everybody out there, you could pray for me. I enjoy the Delta Sky Club, but I don't want to sit there all night. I would rather at some point leave the Delta Sky Club and then, you know, get my first class seat and fly direct to...
Oh, God. Prayers up, man. Prayers up.
I'd rather then settle into my first class seat, fly direct to New York City, where I'll have a, you know, town car waiting for me to take me to a nice hotel in Midtown Manhattan.
Oh,
so if you could pray for me that I don't have to sit in the Delta Sky Club past 7:40 tonight, that would truly...
That'd be great.
That'd be truly appreciated.
Okay. Yeah. That's done.
Yeah. So, anyway, clearly I'm going through it. How are you?
I'm good. I'm pretty good.
But it's just like people, you know, you hear it all the time. You know, life throws curveballs at you, you know? You wake up and you think,
you're not going to be stuck in the Delta Sky Club, and all of a sudden you are.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden you're sitting there in a Delta Sky Club longer than you anticipated.
Hug the people you love.
Yeah, just don't ever.
Because they might end up stuck in the Delta Sky Club. Yesterday I was driving along back from Cincinnati, and I was so wrapped up in my podcast that I didn't look until my and I looked down at my it's been a long time since I ran out of gas and I looked down at the damn gauge and it said how many miles left. It said 0 miles left. 0 miles left, and that didn't seem like I had. And so what do you do then? And then I had to make a choice. Do you get off or do you stay on? What is that interstate that comes down? 65? Is it 65?
Sounds like it could be.
Someone comes down towards Nashville from Louisville, right? And so there's an exit, but the exit doesn't say gas, right? There's nothing that says gas there. Or you could just stay on, but like, when's the next exit? What choice do you make in that situation?
I think unless it says there's a gas station off this exit, then there's not a gas station on this exit. So you got to keep going.
Well, it said a town. It said, I forgot what town it was. It said a town. So I said, well, maybe there's no gas. I got off. And then there was an industrial park. So I got off, and you get into another highway. And I get off, and I'm taking this other highway. And then it says industrial park. And so then you're driving. You know, not a lot of gas stations in an industrial park. So then I get to another turn, and I take a left, and I go to my phone. I say, nearest gas station.
That's smart.
To 21 miles.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
That's game, set, match, right?
So I'm driving along, and you wonder, how long can you drive when you're on zero? Like, that's a – I don't know, like, why they're lying to me, obviously. Already they've lied, because I very clearly didn't have 0 miles. I'd probably at this point driven 7 miles. So I'm driving along, and there, up on the right, 5-star gas station, it's called. It's like my own personal James Wiseman, right there. 5-star gas station. And I swear to God, I glided into the I literally glided into the thing to put gas in the car. So, I feel like I'm living right.
I love that you preface the story by saying, it's been a long time since I've run out of gas, as opposed to – You know, I've never run out of gas before because I'm an adult who, like, keeps an eye. Because your car literally tells you it's time to get gas.
Well, two things. First of all, I think my friend Lexi Johnston said tweeted something out today saying there's two kinds of people who are like, oh, no, my car's half full. I got to go get gas, right? There's those kind of people. And then there are other people who are like, I know my car. It's on empty. And they just, I know my car. I got another 15 miles. Like that there's those kind of people. Honestly, the only time I can remember it, last 2 years ago, I ran out of gas three times in a six-month period because the gas gauge was broken in my car. And so that was – I think it's a totally different thing. I don't actually typically – like, I'm incredibly addled, right, in all kinds of ways. I do stupid things all the time. But I don't lose my keys. I don't lose my phone. I don't lose my wallet. And I actually don't really typically run out of gas. Like, anything else, whatever. Like, I do everything else. Like, but I don't, like, and I do think it's, therefore, it's what you do care about. And I don't actually run out of gas. This was, and I didn't. In fairness, yesterday, I didn't. The only time I've ever run out of gas is when my gas gauge wasn't working. So there.
Well, I hear you. But after you realize your gas gauge doesn't work, like, two times, it's a little bit like if your clock in your kitchen is off by 20 minutes. Like, you'd go... Well, you know, at some point you got to adjust for that, right? Like, okay, my clock says it's 6:50, but it's really 7:10, and so I need to get going. Like, you'd have to adjust for the inaccuracies, right?
Yeah, I'll grant you that. I did not adjust well. I did not adjust well. Here's two other things that happened to me recently. I woke up this morning, I go downstairs, and I realize my front door has been open all night long. Oh, literally, my front door's been open all night long. Yeah. Well, my kid came to drop by the house, and when he shut the door, the front door doesn't always, you have to slam it like three times to get it to shut.
Sure.
And so we walked out. And so literally, wouldn't you have thought someone walking their dog would have thought something horrible would have happened to my house? Like, whatever. The front door's wide open all night long.
Well, I think either people are, like, trying to rob you or they're not. They're probably, like, just not going to.
No, not the robbers, but wouldn't the people be worried about me? There's a door wide open. What would you do? You do what I do is nothing. Just keep walking.
Yeah, I don't even pay attention. Like, I don't.
But if you did, if you noticed that your neighbor's door was wide open for 12 straight, when you left in the morning and then when you got back at night, and it's just wide open, would you probably say, Kelly, why is the
honestly
Smith's door?
And I'm not trying to say anything other than what I'm just telling the truth. Our neighborhood is the type of our street is the type of place where,
right,
like, somebody's door really might just be open all day long.
Wide open.
Like, it's like,
right,
yeah, we live in a place where people, everybody, like, has alarms and locks their doors, but, you know, there's really no, our street is a pretty isolated street. Like, people aren't really that concerned with it. It doesn't seem.
Right.
I guess I'll just say this. If my neighbor's door was wide open, I would just assume they left their door wide open for some
wide
reason.
Wide open. I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so I'm glad. Thanks for asking how I am.
Yeah.
I'm doing well.
So Saturday night, you were inside Fifth Third Arena for a fun basketball game, competitive basketball game. I think when you're an unranked team on the road against a ranked team, you if somebody tells you, you'll have the ball, you know, inside 10 seconds with a chance. You'll have in the final minute, you'll have a chance to win. You'll be in a one-possession game. You're like, okay, I'll take that. And so that's where Memphis found itself. Obviously, everybody knows how it unfolded. They try to get the ball to Jeremiah Martin. Cincinnati knows they're trying to get the ball to Jeremiah Martin, so they jump into the passing lane. Pick off. It wasn't a pick six, but it was enough to end the game. 71-69. The at-large chances are now over for Memphis. But as you wrote at DailyMemphian.com, Penny seemed upbeat, Jeremiah Martin seemed upbeat, and that's not always the case after losses. And the reason, and I don't want to try to read their minds, but if I were them, the reason I'd be upbeat is because I do know that we've still got this conference tournament inside our building where we've only lost twice this season, both times to ranked teams, and there's no – we can't – I don't think Memphis is better than anybody in the league, but I do think Memphis can reasonably hope to beat anybody in the league in that building, and I think Penny and Jeremiah know that too.
Yeah, and I don't think, honestly, there's no question that the at-large thing is gone. I don't think they were thinking that was a realistic possibility anyway. I mean, it was nice to talk about it, right? It was nice to talk, well, maybe you could be in the conversation.
I mean, we got to talk 2 hours every day. We needed to talk
about
it.
Exactly. So, but I don't think they were really thinking too much. So, they like Jeremiah particularly, he takes losses badly. And it's really been striking. He takes losses badly. And after this one, he just seemed kind of energized, honestly, is the word I would use. Like, boy, that was a great game, and we'll get another shot at him. And, of course, even if – I mean, I heard you talking to Mark earlier that if you they won't be more than 3 or 4 point underdogs to anybody. They would be a heavy underdog to win it, to win them all, right? I mean, and by the way, we're taking for granted that they're going to win the first two where we'll be favorites.
Right.
But they could lose to Temple.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they could lose to Temple. They could easily lose to Temple. And so, so I'm not expecting them to win it, but that was a really good game. And yes, they could have won it. Now you can look at it either way. Like, you can, I went through in my column and I said, this happened. Offensive rebounds, turnovers, Keevan was gone, but went missing again, et cetera. And so all that happened plus, and they still only lost by two. Well, the response to that is, yeah, well, that's because that's what happens with this team. It's a flawed team. So they get offensive. They get out-rebounded offensively. I mean, they give up too many offensive rebounds. Their bigs kind of do disappear. And all the things that actually cost them the game are the things that typically, when they've lost games, have cost them games. And so, I don't – it was a fun night. It was a fun night. They're a competitive team. I don't expect them to win the tournament, but I certainly do think they have a puncher's chance.
I'm talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. The point – and you're right. They could lose to Temple. I don't think they can lose to Tulane. But let's say they're the fifth seed. They can certainly lose to Temple. But unless they're upset – and, again, assuming they're the fifth seed – unless they're upset in one of their first two games – a week from this Saturday, they're going to play either Cincinnati or Houston, probably, in a semifinal inside FedEx Forum, where they will not be more than a 3 or 4 point underdog, and they'll know that they're 40 minutes away from playing on Sunday on national television with an opportunity to go to the NCAA tournament, and they won't be more than a 3 or 4 point underdog in that game either. It just sets up where we always talked about it, at least I did, from the Grizzly seasons. It's why, even though those seven straight playoff appearances only resulted in one Western Conference Finals, never resulted in NBA Finals, it gave you moments. Like, those moments were fun. I know that they always didn't go Memphis's way, the Grizzlies' way, but those days were fun days. And it's now set up where if they're not upset in game one or game two, a week from Saturday, you're going to have one of those days. And that's not to be taken for granted, because we sure as hell didn't have many of them over the past 4 years.
No, to me, that's in fact what once you get past the recruiting successes and the attendance successes and everything else, I'm less interested. Yes, they'll go to the NIT, it appears, at this point, right? You know, barring whatever. It appears they're going to me, it's about this season has been fun, just independently. It's just been fun. Saturday night was, even though they lost that game, so the last two Saturday nights, you had a game against Cincinnati and you had a game against Wichita, and they won one and they lost one. And they both, if you're a Memphis Tiger fan, you were more engaged in watching those games than you have been in years in watching games. And so you're exactly right. If a week from Saturday you have another one of them, that'll be great. And to me, that's, by the way, where you want to get. The season will be a success even if they don't get to that Saturday. Even if they get upset on Friday in the tournament, that would be too bad. It would be too bad for the tournament. It would be too bad because you wouldn't have one of those moments. It would not be what you'd want for this season. But I consider the season a success no matter what happens at that stage. But that's what you want. You want them to get to the Saturday and have a shot there, and that'll be another day and another moment, and there will be 15, 16, 17, 18,000 people there, because that's what happens now with Memphis basketball. And to me, the whole thing has just been fun. And I don't really believe, like, it's funny, like, Mick Cronin, he's great, by the way. He's a funny dude.
He's funny. He's like a good dude, too. Like, if you knew him, you'd like him.
He just was really nice. And, like, it's funny, I've never shaken hands with him, but he very clearly, like, knows who I am.
Right.
He said, tell Nick Van Exel. I mean, it was just the way he put it. He said, watching Jeremiah Martin, and mind you, he's got his own guy who's probably going to be conference player of the year.
Right.
So he said, watching Jeremiah Martin reminds me of when I was a student on my student ID, going to basketball games and watching Nick Van Exel. And so I asked him about that later, and he immediately said he wants to play Nick in golf, and he wants strokes, and he said where's that golf course, Southwind?
Right.
Like, we had a whole conversation about how he wants to come down here and play Nick Van Exel, and like, he's very clearly, and I don't know, I don't think he's just blowing smoke. He's extraordinarily complimentary of Memphis, the program, certainly Jeremiah. It was really entertaining listening to him talk about, and it was also entertaining because that last play, he basically made it clear. I don't mean like he was not giving the player credit, but he basically made it clear, like, that's what we set that up.
Right.
Like that was a Mick Cronin moment. They called timeout to set up that, to put in a 1-2-2 in order to do what happened is exactly what they were scheming to happen. And anyway, it was impressive, and it's fun to watch. And it's fun to watch the mutual respect between people like Penny and Mick Cronin.
No, I've talked to Mick privately about Memphis and Penny and what happened now. And he's like, not only a believer in it, but like appreciative of it, because he knows that what's good for Memphis is good for Cincinnati. Having Memphis be nationally relevant and good is good for Cincinnati. He's not threatened by it, because when you've been as consistently as successful as Mick's been, for a long time now, they're about to make their 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th straight NCAA tournament, doing it largely without top 100 prospects. And you look at his teams, and every year, they got guys that kind of remind you of the guys who were here before, but those guys ain't here anymore. But now they got guys who just like them. You talk about recruiting to a culture, recruiting a certain level of guy, recruiting somebody who fits what you want to do. Like, almost nobody, maybe nobody, does that as well as Mick's done it for nearly a decade now at Cincinnati. So he's unthreatened by UConn being good or Memphis being good. He doesn't feel like he's achieve these things at the, while Memphis is down and UConn's down. He's like, if we get Memphis good, then that's another great program we got in our league. UConn good, that's another great program we got in our league. And so he's like, not only a believer in what Memphis and Penny are doing, he wants them to do what it is they're doing because he knows it's good for him. He knows it's good for his school and the league in general. I don't think he was blowing smoke.
No, I don't think he is either. He was also funny. Jaron Cumberland didn't have a great first half, had a very good second half. And he said, yeah, he said, I had to talk with him at halftime. And one of the Cincinnati beat writers said, and how'd that go? He said, oh, I tend to win those.
Right.
Like, he was just, I tend to do pretty well in those.
Right.
He's just very funny. And it is funny to think back when he was under such fire, because he was, and now he's just got it going. And it's like, that's a great gym too. I mean, they did a really nice job renovating it. It was fun. It's fun to see Memphis Cincinnati mean something.
Right, and Mick is also the type that if he grew up, if he was a student watching Nick Van Exel, that means he was also a student watching Penny Hardaway.
That's true, too.
So that means that, he's not starstruck, but right. I have always found it interesting from my perspective when I'm around, I'm not starstruck by anybody now. You can't be in this job, but like, I just remember the first time I ever had a real conversation with Danny Manning. I mean, it's just Danny Manning. Like, it's not Mike Krzyzewski. But, like, I had the first time I had a conversation with Danny Manning, I was like, how cool is that? Danny Manning just texted me. Because he was like, when I was a kid, he was the, 1988 National Player of the Year. I'm like 10, 11 years old. Like, Danny and the Miracles, and they're winning a national championship. And now I'm text messaging with Danny Manning. I was like, man, how awesome is that? And, there's other examples of that. Bobby Hurley. Like, the first time I ever talked to Bobby Hurley, I was like, how cool is this? Like, Bobby Hurley was Bobby Hurley when I was a kid. And I wonder if Mick's got a little bit of that with Penny. If you're a college student loving Cincinnati, that means you admired Penny Hardaway and you could appreciate Cincinnati Memphis. And, I guess what I'm saying is he might be wired a little better to appreciate what Memphis Cincinnati means, what Penny at Memphis means, than a different coach at a different place, because he was in school when all of that was at its apex.
It is funny. Let's talk to Penny about that, because obviously he got his ass beat by Cincinnati right. time and time again as a player. He's funny. He doesn't seem – it doesn't torture him, because he basically says this. He says, like, that was not a fair fight. They were just better than us. Like, right. they were much better. He's very clear that yeah, we were good, but they were just better than us. Like, they were a lot better than us. And so he doesn't seem at all – someone asked him if he has a monkey on his back about Cincinnati. And he said, yeah, no, not really. You know, this is my first year as a coach here, so we'll figure this thing out. And back then, like, they had better players. You know, he does not seem – I think they got crushed in the NCAA tournament when they played Cincinnati.
Right.
And so, no, he doesn't seem haunted by it at all.
Well, I think there's two things there that are in play. One is he went on to have an incredible NBA career. So, like, the four losses to Cincinnati in one season, like, his – that probably haunts a different – Memphis player differently than it does Penny, because like Penny went on to bigger and better things. That's not the best year of his athletic life, the way for so many right. of us, you know, we have these best, you know, like for me, the best year of my athletic life is like in high school. For others, it's in college. For others, it's like in all NBA stuff. But so
I'm still waiting for mine. Mine's right. about to come. Mine's around the corner.
I actually think mine was around 12 or 13, if you want to know the truth. I got worse with age. I peaked around 12 or 13 probably.
That's what she said.
But there's that. And then, you know, that one year, I think it was the year they lost four times. You know, they also lost David Vaughn, like, very early in the season.
Right.
And if they would have had David Vaughn on that team, like, they really could have gone to a Final Four, maybe won a national championship, because when Vaughn got hurt, they were beating the crap out of Arkansas at Arkansas. And they looked like, oh, man, this is scary. And then it's a torn ACL and the whole season changes. So I guess that makes it a little easier to deal with.
Right.
That plus like $150 million. Right?
Yeah, I suppose that helps too.
Speaking of, I know you're working on this column yep. where everybody's got pictures of themselves with Penny. I actually posted one on your Facebook page as well.
That was hilarious. Where was that from? When was yours? Where was from? Yours was from where?
A few years ago, we were out at Miramichi. It was me and Chris Vernon and our buddies Brad P. and Mark McCleskey. And we weren't there with Penny, but we were playing. And then what we realized at some point, I can't remember if he was in the group ahead of us or directly behind us, but it was like Penny was either in the group directly ahead of us or directly behind us, right? So we noticed that. And then when we got to the clubhouse, we sat down, and I don't know if we ate with them, but like we hung out for a little while, and then we subsequently took that picture. So yeah, it is true. I do think you're onto something, and by an overwhelming margin.
Yeah, the idea is, and I think we mentioned this once before, we talked about this once before, is I'm struck by, I mean, Penny obviously can't go anywhere without people asking for take pictures of him.
Sure.
Like, just, it happens. And I've never seen him not only not say no, I mean, I've never seen him say no, including right before the Oklahoma State game, roughly 30 seconds before tips, some dad came up with his kid
right.
and just said, but he's also, if you look at the pictures, like, he's in them. Like, he's looking right at the camera, he's smiling, he's, like, he never, like, geez, bloody hell, another one of these, like, he's,
right.
It's amazing watching him do it. And so my theory is that more people have pictures with Penny Hardaway than with any other person in Memphis. And I want to assemble as many of them I can in a gallery and do a story on it. So send them to G. Calkins, C-A-L-K-I-N-S, @dailymemphian.com. Send your own personal – even old ones are even better. I have some people that have sent me one. You know, here I am when I was six, and here I am with him, you know, last week. And those are fun. It is interesting, though, because on my show, someone suggested that the only other rival would be Jerry Lawler. That Memphians, there are right. just as many Memphians have pictures with Jerry Lawler as with Penny. Where do you think on that one?
I think it's probably Penny, if only because, I don't know. I mean, I got both. I can send you a picture of me and Jerry, too, if you want one.
Do you?
Yeah, no, I do. Just like we hosted a Super Bowl party down at Fitz a couple weeks ago. Jerry
but
and I.
Those are two. They're clearly the two leaders.
I think.
Right?
Yeah, I think those are the two leaders, probably. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, hey, once I get off the air, I'll send you one of Aiden and Penny as well.
Oh, do that too. I'll put it in the gallery.
All right.
Send yours. So
get last. I'll see you. Bye bye. That's Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN. We'll be back with Dinner to Go.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
A whole bunch of stuff, but we opened and spent a lot of time talking about the Memphis basketball team because, yeah, they did lose at Cincinnati on Saturday night and at the same time eliminated themselves from at-large consideration to the NCAA tournament. I told you last week that if they lost at Cincinnati, those conversations would need to stop because they're no longer realistic. Honestly, they weren't realistic or too realistic when we were having them, but they were possible. Now it's impossible. Nothing short of winning the American Athletic Conference tournament and getting an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament is going to allow the Tigers in year one to play in the NCAA tournament under Penny Hardaway. But here's the thing I've been saying for a while. And it's not unique to me. I don't want to pretend like I had some original thought here. But it is something I tweeted after they beat UCF by 20 inside FedEx Forum. And there was some pushback from people. But those people didn't know what they were talking about because the computer numbers were always in my favor and they still are. And what I tweeted was this. No matter what happens the rest of the regular season, and I tweeted this a long time ago, no matter what happens the rest of the regular season, it seems pretty clear that Memphis is going to have a real shot to win the American Athletic Conference tournament because it's going to be played inside FedEx Forum, where Memphis had just beaten Central Florida by 20. This was on January 27th. And inside FedEx Forum, even though Houston would go on to be a top 10 team and Cincinnati's undeniably good and Central Florida is now ranked in the AP poll, nobody inside FedEx Forum is going to be a significant favorite over the Tigers. I had some people push back. Oh, I bet Houston will. I bet Cincinnati will. I said, well, then you just don't understand the computer numbers. I'm looking at them every day. It's what I do for a living. Then, just to confirm it, I emailed Ken Pomeroy. This was either last week or the week before. I said, hey, give me, because this was peak Houston. They're on this winning streak. They're in the top 10. Give me a projected score on Houston, Memphis, inside FedEx Forum. In other words, the most difficult opponent the Tigers would have to deal with in the AAC tournament. What's your projected score? Ken told me it'd be 78-72, 6 points. And guess what? As of today, it'd be closer than that. Because even though Memphis lost at Cincinnati, it improved in the computers with its performance Saturday night. That was a good performance, even if it resulted in a loss. And so if you went to the Sagarin numbers this morning, and there's really three sets of numbers that are respected by people when it comes to college basketball. It's KenPom, it's the net rankings, and Sagarin. If you went to Sagarin this morning, what you would find is the following, and I pointed this out to you in the opening segment. Houston's now number 17 in Sagarin. Cincinnati's number 27. UCF is number 32. And Memphis is fourth in the American Athletic Conference at number 62. Now, the way Sagarin works is they assign a number to you based on an algorithm that's far too complex for any of us to talk about on radio. You have to trust the numbers. Houston's number is 87.46. Cincinnati's 85.91. UCF, 85.06. Memphis, 80.48. And what Sagarin has assigned this season is a home court advantage of 3.13. And so if you take Houston's number or Cincinnati's number or UCF's number, those are the only three numbers that are higher than Memphis's in the Sagarin ratings, and then you subtract Memphis's number, but then also subtract the 3.13 that FedEx Forum is worth for the Tigers, you get some interesting results. Houston, as of this moment, according to Sagarin, inside FedEx Forum, would only be a 3.85-point favorite over Memphis. You can round that up, round that down, but you're going to get to 4 or 3.5. Houston minus 3.85 over Memphis. Do the same thing with Cincinnati. Take Cincinnati's number, subtract Memphis's number, subtract the 3.13. You're going to get Cincinnati minus 2.3 over Memphis inside FedEx Forum. You can round it up to 2.5, round it down to 2.0, but that's where you're at. Do the same thing with UCF's number. Subtract Memphis's number. Subtract the 3.13.
You're going to get UCF minus 1.44 over Memphis. Hmm. You can round it up to 1.5, round it down to 1, or remember that on January 27th, oddsmakers actually made Memphis a favorite over UCF in FedEx Forum, and Memphis won the game by 20. So I would submit that Memphis wouldn't even be an underdog to UCF and won't be more than a four-point underdog against anybody in the league and will be favored over, I think, everybody in the league except Houston and Cincinnati inside FedEx Forum. That makes this realistic. Not probable, but realistic. And it's why I think Penny and Jeremiah Martin were both upbeat. Because they know, with the way they've been playing lately, and it's 5-2 in the past seven games, with the lone losses being close losses to Central Florida and Cincinnati, two ranked teams on the road. With the way they've been playing lately, if you give them home court advantage, there is nobody in this league they can't beat. I'm not telling you there's nobody in this league they will beat. I mean, won't beat. I'm telling you there's nobody in this league they can't beat. Every coach in America right now who has a team whose at-large chances have been eliminated is telling their team one way or another, we still have a shot to get to the NCAA tournament. But for most of those coaches and those teams, it is completely unrealistic. If you are, say, Josh Pastner at Georgia Tech, and you sit your team down after this weekend heading into the ACC tournament and say, but guys, we get it, you know, our league gets an automatic bid to the tournament, and we've got a chance to go out and get that automatic bid. I mean, technically it's true. Practically, from a practical perspective, it's a lie. Because what that requires you to do is go beat a bazillion teams that are better than you, some that are significantly better than you. For you to go from where Georgia Tech is, and I'm not picking on them, Pitt, Notre Dame, any of the other teams that have struggled in the ACC this season, you're trying to get an automatic bid in that league? At some point, you got to go through either North Carolina or Duke or Virginia or two of them, maybe three of them. You ain't doing that. Your season's over. With Memphis, all you have to do is beat teams in your home arena that you've either A, already beaten, or B, shown that you can. And the odds makers are not going to make you significant underdogs to anybody. So this week is what it is. You play Tulsa on Saturday. You have an incredible senior night for Jeremiah Martin. And then the following week, even if Memphis is the 5 seed and they have to play Tulane in that first game, playing a game that is very winnable with an opportunity to play a game the following day and punch a ticket to the NCAA tournament. And if you're a Memphis fan, realistic one, when this season started, this is really all you could reasonably hope for, that they'd have a realistic shot to get to the NCAA tournament. Now, if this event wasn't going to be played inside FedEx Forum, perhaps we'd be having different conversations. But given that it is, again, the numbers suggest that, you know, Penny, Jeremiah Martin, and everybody else in that locker room has a chance, and so it should be fun.
What's the biggest game tonight?
Clippers-Lakers, Staples Center, downtown L.A. Clippers are 36-29, alone in 7th in the Western Conference standings. Our king and saviors, Lakers, are struggling. 30-33, alone in 10th now in the Western Conference standings. Lakers have dropped 4 of their past 5 games, including one this weekend to the Suns. In terms of winning percentage through at least 25 games, the Suns this weekend became the worst team a LeBron James team has ever lost to when LeBron James plays in his career, because the Suns had a .190 winning percentage entering that game. So now the Lakers are 4.5 games out of 8th place with just 19 games remaining. Hard to make that up, which is why the 538 blog now gives LeBron's team just an 8% chance to make the playoffs, so that's not good. But if you want to watch our king and savior, he's on TV tonight. Lakers 4-point favorites, total 237. Tip schedule for 9:30 Central. You can watch it on NBA TV.
What should I watch on TV?
So part one of that Leaving Neverland documentary was on HBO last night. Did you watch any of this?
I didn't see it, no. Okay. I read a little bit about it, but
so I watched, you know, I had it on HBO on demand, right? Yeah. And I watched it last night, and then I don't know, I got about 45 minutes in and fell asleep. Yeah. Haven't had a chip, been busy today, haven't had a chance to watch the rest of it.
Were you grossed out by that first, what you saw?
He appears to be a pedophile.
Yeah.
I mean, he appears to be a man who sexually abused young boys.
Yeah.
You know, as young as the age of 7. I mean, you can say if you want to, I just don't believe the accusers, but they seem very believable. The details that they have don't seem like the type of thing people just make up. I'll let everybody watch it and reach their own conclusions. You know, it's not like this leads to, criminal charges, because Michael Jackson, you might have heard, is no longer alive. Mm-hmm. But I do think this documentary, because even though I didn't watch all of it last night, only because I fell asleep, I did read all about it today, all of the reviews with all of the details, because I did have time to do that. And it does seem like the type of thing that is going to affect his legacy in a pretty real way. So if you haven't caught part one, check that out first, obviously. But part two is on HBO tonight at 7. You can watch that and, again, reach your own conclusions. If you're up late, Brie Larson's on Jimmy Kimmel. Gwyneth Paltrow's on Jimmy Fallon. Julianne Moore is on Stephen Colbert. Guster is on Seth Meyers. And the Jonas Brothers going to be on James Corden.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
So I wrote the Politex column earlier today for CBSSports.com, where I examine things in the AP poll that are just indefensible, and then I explain why they're indefensible. And what I found today, this guy named Jesse Newell at the Kansas City Star, he's ranking. So there's 64 AP voters. 63 of them have LSU ranked ahead of Auburn, because there's no way not to have LSU ranked ahead of Auburn. It's stupid not to. He has Auburn higher than anybody else, up at 14. That's 7 spots higher than any other AP voter. He's got LSU 2 spots lower, down at 18, than any other AP voter. So I went through the resumes to try to explain this. Listen to this. This is how different their resumes are, why it's impossible to have Auburn ahead of LSU. Auburn's 20-9 overall, 9-7 in the SEC. LSU's 24-5 overall, 14-2 in the SEC. Auburn is 2-7 in quadrant one opportunities. LSU is 9-2 in quadrant one opportunities. Auburn is 11-9 in quadrant one / quadrant two opportunities. LSU is 16-5 in quadrant one / quadrant two opportunities. Auburn has 0 wins over teams currently ranked in the AP Top 25 poll. LSU has 2 wins over teams currently ranked in the AP Top 25 poll, specifically wins over number 5 Tennessee and number 6 Kentucky. Auburn has lost 5 times to schools currently unranked. Ugh. LSU has lost 3 times to schools currently unranked. Auburn has 3 wins over top 50 KenPom teams. LSU has 6. Auburn has 11 wins over top 100 KenPom teams. LSU has 16. And last but not least, LSU is 1-0 against Auburn this season, thanks to a last month's 83-78 win over the Auburn Tigers in Baton Rouge. Like, I don't think I need to keep going. Plus, we're running out of time. You cannot have Auburn ranked ahead of LSU right now. Stop being silly.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Well, it's going to be Tuesday. Weather permitting, I'll eventually get to New York City. Wish me luck. We'll get ready for Blazers, Grizzlies. Kentucky at Ole Miss is tomorrow night, so John Calipari will have some of his Memphis friends in Oxford, I'm certain. The legend Keith Eastwood will join me in the first hour. Jeff Calkins in the second. Should be fun. Enjoy your night. I'll enjoy mine. Meet me back here tomorrow at 4. Till then, be careful. Be kind. Be good. Rep your hood.
Ask Alexa or Google to play 92.9 ESPN. WMFS FM and HD1 Bartlett. WMFS Memphis. A Radio.com sports station. This is 92.9 FM ESPN.
ED, Hidden Treasures in Wholesale Flipping. On this DVD, you'll see our easy wholesale flipping strategy for locating, evaluating, and flipping a property for profit in your area. Plus, learn how you can access highly discounted properties and the right funding partners for that perfect wholesale flip. Call 1-800-976-4906 now to get your free wholesale flipping DVD. Call 800-976-4906, and we'll also throw in free tickets to an information-packed live.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.